Women Who Rock.
Women Rock.
Women Who Rock.
Women Rock.
Women Who Rock.
Women Who Rock.
Women Who Rock.
Women Who Rock. Women Who Rock.
This is Women Who Rock, a podcast promoting female musicians and artists. Today, I'm joined by Helena Massey, who has just released her debut album, Brothers, Puffins, and Half Skulls. Helena, it is really great to have you back on the show.
Thanks, Matt. It's really lovely to be back for a second time.
Last time, we didn't talk about politics, but I need to start by saying I'm a fan of Jacinda Ardern. I'm very happy to have that on the record.
Yeah.
So that is my New Zealand segue, because it seems like over the last year you've had quite a strong connection with New Zealand.
Yeah.
So your album, Brothers, Puffins and Half Skulls, that was just released, it actually was released through an album, a label called Home Alone Music,
yeah,
based in Wellington. Can you tell us a little bit about Home Alone, and also how it came about that you were releasing your album with them?
Yeah, for sure. Home Alone Music is a small independent label run by a few musicians in Wellington, and I sort of got in touch with them actually all online, like the whole thing happened online, connecting with them, which is, yeah, kind of really cool. One of the sort of good things about social media. And yeah, they reached out to me earlier in the year to put one of my previous songs on a winter collection album of theirs that they were going to put out. And I sent Brooke Singer, who's, her and Lake and Tim run the album, run the label together, sorry. And I sent her the mixed album, Brothers, Puffins and Half Skulls. And I just said, you know, I've got this too. Like, if you wanted to choose one of the songs on this instead. And then she was like, oh, we actually really love this album. Would you be interested in releasing it with us, you know, as your album?
Right.
And I think there was some sort of mutual connection there with some local bands here that they had known, and sort of that's sort of how they had found me online. I'm not really sure. Yeah, it was just all a online connection through social media, really.
Okay, so you hadn't been playing shows in New Zealand?
No, I've never been to New Zealand, actually. I'm desperate.
Oh,
yeah,
really?
No, I've never been. I would really love to go there. You know, I feel really called to go there, and the landscape, everything is just, yeah, it's so beautiful. So, and it's been really nice to connect with musicians over there. It feels like there's quite a strong folk scene. And
I said, oh, really, with a lot of conviction, but to be honest, I've actually never been to New Zealand myself either. So I think I'm not allowed to be that surprised.
Yeah, I think lots of Australians haven't been there. I don't know.
Maybe we should both go there when the world is back to fine.
Yes, I would love that.
So do they mainly do kind of folk music, or are there a lot of genres represented on that label?
It's sort of like an indie label. Quite a few artists that are, yeah, folk, experimental, sort of, yeah, all sorts of things really. But, and I suppose in that way I feel like I have a similar approach, or come from a sort of similar place to some of the artists on the label. And yeah, it's really like just really supportive musicians. You know, Brooke, I think, sort of comes from that folk singer-songwriter background as well. And
okay, cool. And they're releasing your album, Brothers, Puffins and Half Skulls.
Yeah.
I think I said that many, many times, because I was kind of – it's an interesting title.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about it, and it took quite a while before I read or realized that it actually – it sort of represents three themes,
yeah,
that are kind of represented and are discussed throughout the album.
Yeah.
The idea of brothers, puffins and half skulls.
Yeah.
I saw that regarding the idea of puffins, you said that one of the aspects that it's sort of investigating is a loss of species and a severing of the feminine.
Mm. Yeah.
Can you explain a little bit about how that's represented in the music and what that kind of concept means?
Yeah, for sure. I suppose puffins is, well, first of all, they're a bird that are like, their populations are declining rapidly, and they're a bird from my own ancestral homelands as well. And it's just sort of one word that represents quite a huge, complex, messy kind of grief that I think our whole generation are sort of going through in different ways, whether that's, you know, displacement from a sense of belonging or, just like environmental problems and just everything, really. I just think, our generation has a lot to sort of deal with emotionally and sort of spiritually, and that's just the one word that sort of represents that sort of complex and messy grief, I think.
Is that, so the concept of grief, is that related to the severing of the feminine, like kind of a loss of femininity or something?
Yeah, I think so. It's sort of one of those things that I don't really know how to put into words, and that's sort of why I make it songs, really. The whole album, you know, Brothers, Puffins and Half Skulls, it was sort of chronicling like 2018, 2019, when I was writing the songs, and that title kind of just came to me first before I sort of realized that I could sort of step back and realize these are the main themes that, you know, I was thinking about a lot and going through a lot over those the past couple of years, and I suppose that's just the outcome of it in that album, if that makes sense.
The way I interpreted it was that you were talking, I mean, there is kind of a climate aspect to it, and maybe, you know, climate change is related to the idea of puffins in that, you know, things are going poorly.
Yeah.
I was thinking that it's kind of like represented by Mother Earth.
Yeah.
And you say the severing of the feminine.
Yeah, exactly.
As if, like, you know, there was something that was whole before, but it's sort of slowly being broken down.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. And it's just so huge, you know. I just sometimes feel like I can't put it into words. And it's also about grief of our place of belonging, you know. I think it might sound abstract, but, you know, especially growing up in Australia, it's like you have a really strong connection, at least I'm speaking from my own experience, you know, you have a strong connection to the place where you've grown up, the coast or wherever it is. And, but at the same time you don't, cause you sort of feel like it's not, you know, you don't really belong here. It's not your ancestral home. You know, we've only been here for, not long at all. And, there's also that deeper yearning for, our ancestral homelands. And, I think it's sort of like a spiritual feeling of that we're sort of like pot plants just being put into pots and not, we can't sort of feel our way into where we are, if that makes sense. So it's just sort of quite complex, and I think all of those aspects about it sort of hold a lot of grief. And yeah, so
I like the pot plant analogy.
Yeah, I don't know if that makes sense. Makes sense.
It
makes
heaps of sense to me because I've been potting plants. So.
Yeah, true.
Well, that's kind of the idea of grief is encapsulated with the kind of the theme of puffins, but it's also quite personal, I think.
Yeah, definitely.
It talks about some of your struggles that you've had with health and other things. So in terms of it's really kind of 2 or 3 years worth of work that's gone into this release.
Yeah.
So with it being so personal, how do you feel now that it has been released out into the world and it's on a label and people can listen to it all around the globe?
I think you sort of just have to accept that been released and it has a life of its own now, and that's fine too. And that's sort of just another side of it. Like those songs are to me what they are, and they are to other people what they are. Like, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they are really personal, and I sort of, I don't think about it too much. It's just like they're out there, and that's fine, if that makes sense.
Is there a sense of, is there any kind of sense of relief that you've kind of,
yeah,
I don't know, like got it off your chest?
Yeah, definitely. Oh, I mean, it's, and also because it was just such a long, slow process. You know, I wrote the songs in mostly 2018, started 2019, recorded started recording in June of 2019, and then finished mixing in January, I think, this year. And yeah, it's, I think also because I do write quite personal songs, it's just that, you know, that journaling and that chronicle of those 2 years of my life, and it's really nice to release that and, you know, start that whole creative cycle again, and that cycle of healing, musical journeys, everything in that.
What you said reminded me of something that I'd heard in an interview with Jack White, where someone was asking about something like, you know, what do you think people saying this stuff about your songs? And he said that once the songs are released, I kind of don't feel like they're mine anymore.
Yeah.
Because I was viewing and interpreting it in one particular way, but now it's out and it can be seen or viewed in a million different angles, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's up to other people now because it's theirs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And also, you know, I think for me, because they're so personal and it's sort of my own way of processing what I'm going through in my life, it is nice to release those sort of mental journeys or what I'm thinking about and resolving that for myself. And I, even though I still feel connected to the songs in one way, it is good to feel disconnected to them as well. I do feel some sense of detachment in a good way from them. And I think that's just like a normal thing for me with any creative or musical project. Once it's out there, it sort of releases, and that's good.
Well, we should listen to a track off the album. I thought we might continue on the Puffins theme and hear a track from the album. This track from Helena Massey is called Seabirds.
Thank you.
That track was called Seabirds off Helena Massey's album Brothers, Puffins and Half Skulls. I was listening to the album on Bandcamp because I am a big fan of that particular website, and I saw that actually one of the tags that you had was Celtic. So when you were last on the show, the track that we played was Chinkora's Heart,
yeah,
which was kind of more like a, I guess you'd say, classical Indian style music about your experience in the Thar Desert.
Yeah.
And so in my mind, that kind of European Celtic and folk and sort of an Indian music is, I don't know, it's kind of the way that I see it is they're very kind of different entities. Mm. Do you think that there is a link between those styles in the way that they've influenced your music?
Yeah, I definitely do. Someone that comes to mind as quite pivotal in that is Sheila Chandra, and her work, her a cappella songs that, you know, are really focused on blending the ornamentations of classical Indian and, you know, old Irish and Scottish and English folk songs, and she really sort of shows how those ornamentations cross over and the sort of connectedness of those traditions. And I think that's really interesting, especially a lot of her songs are just purely vocals. So yeah, that's one thing that comes to mind. But yeah, I do. I think there is a connection there, and I've listened to lots of musicians and lots of music from both of those sort of traditions, and I think they do cross over a lot, and I'm not singing from being trained in either one. I don't know. I think they're definitely connected in a way.
So for, I mean, this is, there's definitely that kind of influence on the album that you've just released.
Yeah.
But I'm interested in, it's been, you mentioned that it was, I think, primarily 2018
mm.
that you were working on these songs. Mm. So I'm interested to know about how you, over the last maybe 6 months, have been working, and whether the kind of lockdown crazy nature of the world has influenced or kind of enhanced your creative process.
Yeah. To be honest, I've been one of the lucky ones that, it's been really good for me, and I think it creatively it's really stabilized my kind of writing process. And I used to, you know, carry a notebook around, and things would always be coming to me at just the most random inconvenient times, and it's sort of stabilized having a one place that's my own to just sit at work in private, and that's been really good. Was that the question? Sorry, about COVID and...
Yeah, basically about COVID and how the different kind of world and living situation has impacted your creative process. I know that I read quite a lot about Patti Smith. I really love her books.
Yeah.
And her approach was that she really had a routine. So she would kind of try to write every day at like 7 o'clock, 7 till 10 or something.
In the morning.
Have you... Yeah, she's like a really productive person. Yeah, no, that's not for me at all.
Yeah.
but have you found that because, I guess, maybe having more time at home or more time to yourself, do you find that you have found more of a structure and a rhythm, or do you think it's been kind of eclectic but just more of it because you have more time?
I think just having the sort of private space and sort of that acceptance, especially if you're an introverted homebody kind of person, I think it sort of relaxed me a bit more about just having that space, and it was okay to just be at home all the time making music. Mm. You know, I've been really lucky to be able to also, you know, work my other job from home, yeah, which has been great. But, yeah, it's definitely provided that sort of acceptance of just having that private space. And, you know, I imagine it would just be so much harder for people who work a lot in teams and collaborating with other artists or different, you know, multimedia kind of projects. And yeah, because I do write just by myself in a private space anyway, it's been really good for that.
I know that we spoke a little bit about recording when we last caught up for the podcast. Mm. My understanding for the recent album was that you have done the recording at home.
Yeah.
But I also heard that you had done some, I think, vocals in the studio for this album. So can you tell us a bit about the experience being in a more traditional studio environment for the first time?
That was a little bit sneaky, actually. We recorded the vocals in a friend of mine who's a student at one of the music schools. We kind of snuck into one of their like booths.
Oh, right.
Yeah, okay. So that was a little bit sneaky. So yeah, I don't want to be too explicit about that, but for the most part, we did record it at home, and we recorded quite a few of the vocal takes at home and all the backing vocals at home as well. It was just a few main vocals that we recorded there. So
okay, yeah, I was going to ask about the idea of the pressure of like being under the clock, the watchful eye of the clock,
true,
when you're paying for studio time.
There was definitely,
but maybe you had a different.
There was definitely none of that, because it, you know, we started recording in June and then finished mixing in January or February. So it took a while, and it was just me and my friend Raphael recording everything. So it was just the two of us, and we did everything together, and both of us didn't have jobs at the time, and was on an extremely low budget. And, you know, we didn't have an idea that it had to be out at this month or whatever. And I wasn't really planning on pitching it to labels. It was just going to be independent anyway. And it's like a home private kind of project, and, you know, to start with. And so, yeah, there definitely wasn't that pressure to sort of have something at a certain date.
Well, I guess that fits pretty well with the name of the label that it's released on.
Yeah, true. Very, very appropriate.
You are going to be playing, I guess there's not like a formal album launch.
No.
But you're going to be playing a couple of gigs in October at a close to home venue, a venue called, is it Wombara Bowling Club?
Wombara Scarborough Bowling Club.
Okay. And that will be the first show that you've played for quite a while.
Yeah.
How are the anticipation levels? How are you feeling about doing that and getting back out there for the first time in quite a while?
I'm really excited to play in front of real people again for the first time. Like, I actually haven't been to any shows since pre-COVID, and I'm kind of interested also to just see what the sort of feeling of the room is as well, and how that feels with everyone having gone through all this and sort of feeling the room out for that when I, you know, at the time. So yeah, no, I'm definitely looking forward to it.
It will be really great to go to that show. I think that it should be really cool. You're supporting someone else, a local, is it a band? Kitten Heel.
Yeah, local band from Wollongong area.
It is time for the segment, Tell Me a Thing, where I have a list of 7 topics and I ask you to choose one of them. The topics are musical equipment, recording equipment, poetry, punk rock, Patti Smith, death, and politics. So, Helena, can you please tell me a thing?
Okay, so I'm going to go with politics.
Okay.
And I'm just thinking about, you know, how that ties in with being a songwriter and being a songwriter now in our obviously very divisive political sort of times. And yeah, at least for me, you know, I've found in the last 6 months or so that writing songs has sort of been more important to me than ever, with sort of where the world's at, and just for my own mental health, really. And I think it's, yeah, I think, you know, whether you're explicitly sort of talking about issues or not, I think it's a really important way to, yeah, to express sort of yourself and what's going on in the world, whether that's, you know, in an abstract way, that's sort of healing, or direct, and you're trying to sort of make change in that way. I think, you know, I think that role as being a songwriter or an artist is really important for that. I mean, it always has been, but particularly at the moment, and for, you know, young artists as well, sort of stepping into that, it's, yeah, really sort of pivotal, I think.
Well, it seems as though this new album that you released has a really interesting of basically like a blend of looking inwards but also looking outwards.
Yeah.
Because you talk about your own personal struggles, but you're also talking a lot about nature as well and what's happening in the outside surroundings.
Mm, yeah, for sure. And I think there's also that blend of kind of expressing growth with, you know, your own, at least for me as a woman, you know, exploring sort of masculine stories in my own lineage and in myth and in, and through dream work as well. And that's been incredibly healing for me. And I sort of was a little bit nervous about putting that theme out because I wasn't sure how that was going to be received. And for me, those songs are really about praising the masculine. And that's, yeah, just been so pivotal for me and yeah, my own personal growth. So I was a bit nervous about how that was going to be interpreted, and then it sort of blended with their sort of grief, this really deeply feminine grief at the same time. So I feel like, you know, it is, yeah, blending two very different things that might come across like, you know, very different political sort of perspectives or something, if that makes sense.
It really is a bit of a melting pot of ideas.
Yeah.
Which is also, I guess, kind of a time capsule of what's going on at the moment.
Yeah.
I enjoyed listening to it, and I'm going to listen to it again.
Oh, thank you.
Helena, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was really great. I appreciate you coming back for a second time. And, yeah, I really love the album, so thanks so much for coming on and having a chat.
Oh, thank you so much, Matt. It's, yeah, it's been really lovely to, you know, catch up and talk about all this stuff again. And, yeah, thank you.
Women Who Rock is proudly produced in the Sydney studios of 2SER 107.3.